Venerable Bhikkhus, brothers and sisters, the subject of the discourse today is, in the fathom of body you possess, and the consciousness, there lies suffering. In the fathom of body and consciousness you possess, there lies the cause of suffering. In the fathom of body and the consciousness you possess, there lies the cessation of suffering. In the fathom of body and the consciousness you possess, there lies the path leading to the cessation of suffering. This clearly indicates, brothers and sisters, that you did not go anywhere to find out the cause of your suffering, the exact suffering, the cause of suffering, and how one should end the suffering, and the path leading to the suffering. All that is in you. When we speak of Dhamma and listen to Dhamma, we think that Dhamma is away from us, out of us. But all that we are struggling to achieve is within us. That is why I always say that you are undoing what you have done to yourself. You have done wrong to yourself. As a result, you are suffering. As a result, you are subject to births, birth after birth, the cycle of births. Why? Because you have not conducted yourself in a manner where you could have avoided the suffering. And the other thing is, if the cause is within you, then you can easily get out of it. Buddha says, I showed you a path leading to your liberation. But I cannot liberate you, because you created the situation for yourself. And the situation I have created is quite different from the situation he has created. And it's quite different from the situation each one of you have created. In my own way, I have created a situation where I am now suffering. So each of us are suffering, subject to sickness, and the sickness is independent to yourself. So sickness that you are suffering from can be only cured by somebody who can give you the medicine and cure it. Any other person drinking it or prescribing medicine to another person, that will not help you. You have to consume the medicine and cure your sickness yourself. Why? Because this sickness is pertaining to each one of you. And you have created it yourself within you. Therefore, the specific action you should take in order to get rid of this sickness is the action you should take and most suitable to you. That is something which you must bear in mind. That is why Buddha said, in this fathom of body and mind lies the suffering. In this fathom of body and mind lies the cause of suffering. In this fathom of body and mind lies the cessation of suffering. And in this fathom of body and mind lies the path leading to the cessation of suffering. So all these clearly indicated it is something concerning each one of us. Then the question one should ask is, who subjected yourself to suffering? It is not an outside force. You yourself have created that situation for yourself. And every one of us independently has created the situation independent to each other. That is why Buddha said, be a light unto yourself. Don't seek refuge from outside. because no person outside can help you to get out of this trouble. That is something which you must bear in mind. Therefore, effort must come through us to put things to right in ourselves. You should not be concerned about others. This such time your sickness is cured by yourself. After curing, certainly go to the assistance of others and have compassion towards everybody. But this such time you cure the sickness within you, created by you, you have to make the effort yourself. What is this sickness that you created? You as a human being use the six sense bases to commit sankhara, person effect. This consciousness is gifted to you for that purpose. But you did something wrong there. And it is that commitment on your part that created the sickness in you. Example you saw with your eyes, an object, a visual object. And what did you do after that? You created an attachment to that object, producing thoughts when that object appealed to you. And if that object was not appealing to you, you create an aversion to the thought, to the object. This unnecessary creation of thoughts and falling into these two extremes, that's led to the cause of your suffering. Are you the sufferer? There is no sufferer. But they are suffering. In the body of, fathom of a body and the mind, there is suffering. Who is there in that fathom of body and mind? There is no being. There is only mind and matter. Who commits acts? No one commits acts. The body commits acts as directed by the mind. There is no author to such activity. They are all causally created. But you did not have the right understanding of this situation. And that resulted in creating wrong impression of your activities. That you, as the author of the activities, committed these acts. And it became a strong belief in you. Who is the author? The author is the owner of this person, this body. He is the person. That's again a mental creation. You lived in this creation, you created this person in you and you believed in him. And you committed the acts which are normally causally created, but having a false view that the so-called being within you committed these acts. Therefore, if your fathom of body and mind suffer from something, it's not you who suffered. It is the body and the mind that suffer for the acts the body and mind committed. Because in that body and mind there is no person as such. Then we ask the question, who created this idea of a person in you? The very mental energy or consciousness that created that. It's rather interesting to find out why did he create that false impression in you, to enable you to proceed in this world. That's the object of the creation of the body. That's the object of the creation of the mind. Proceed along the world with a false view that you are the being who is perpetrating these activities. When in fact and in truth they are all causally created. That there is no being within you who can claim the ownership to these activities. But in your impression you created that and you lived in it. And you promoted it. So now all your activities are committed by you. If you is terms referring to this person in you. When there is no person in you, and in fact there is no person, who created this person in you? The mind created this person in you. And now this person commits acts. In three ways he can express certain things, he can think certain things, he can commit acts with his body. All those are sankharas, or causally created activity. Now there is a person now created by you and committing these activities, and this person within you also enjoys what is good, created the wrong, a feeling, bad feeling against what is bad. These are the two extremes he lives in, good and bad. Again, mental creations. One end is good, the other end is bad. All mental creations. Now you have this consciousness who is creating this situation for us. One would ask the question, why he is creating this situation, this so-called being in us when there is no being? Just for the continuity of this life, birth after birth, promotion of this life, and the being is the author of all activity. This being is created by the consciousness, as I told you earlier, reference to in every thought he creates to experience something about a sense base, or experience through a sense base, some object of a sense base. This so-called person is the person who experienced that. This being is imaginary being in you. He pursued what is good, he pursued what is bad, and he enjoyed them, what is good, create ill feeling towards what is bad. And Buddha says that is these two activities of the mind, good and bad, created the desire. Enjoyment of good made him to continue to enjoy good, search for good, hunt for something good, something pleasant, and he enjoyed it. In regard to aversion, disappointment, because of disappointment, he searched for more goods. He was disappointed because he expected something to his satisfaction, but he did not get it, therefore he was disappointed. That created a bigger urge in him to look for only good things, and he went all out to hunt for something good. Therefore good and bad both promoted desire. Where is the desire? Again, it's in the fathom of body and mind, nowhere else. Was his desire introduced by some outside force? No. You created that. You maintain it. You live in it. During a span of life, you live in these two extremes of aversion and attachment, creating desire. And once your span of life is over, then a changeover takes place, that's being born to another birth, and you continue to live in that too, in the same frame of mind. The question will be asked, why did this worldling pursue the experience of the six sense bases to that extent of creating satisfaction or dissatisfaction? Why? He wanted the, or he made use of the consciousness only to see, that's all. Only to hear, only to smell, only to contact, only to think, say, experience, taste, contact and think, that's all. That is his objective. That is what the consciousness is doing to all, each of us. Then the question is, why did you create this attachment and aversion? There is always in a human being the desire to enjoy, and he produces feelings of enjoyment. That's true. So enjoy is what is enjoyable, and create aversion for what is not enjoyable. These two extremes he experiences because he pursues the activity of the sense basis beyond a certain limited area. Permission of the consciousness to you is for the sake of performing the activities of the basis. And those activities are only confined to enabling to see, hear, smell, taste, contact and think. Why did he then pursue enjoyment? He pursued enjoyment because attachment produced that pursuit. Buddha was asked this question, when did this human being develop this attachment? Buddha said that on the time he received the six sense bases, he not only performed the activities of six sense bases, but went further in pursuing this object to enjoy. He physically did that. And it is this sense of enjoyment, which if it was good, he enjoyed, but if it was something not to his satisfaction, he disagreed with that or created an aversion to it. This unnecessary activity by the consciousness in pursuing these sense-based experiences to that end of creating an aversion or attachment, that led to the desire. So if they are a person who create the desire, no, there is no person creating the desire. Then why do you pursue the activities of the sense basis? If I say no person created the desire, or no person pursued this as such, I have to explain that to you. The very consciousness that created the attachment to aversion, in pursuit of the experience he went through by the creation of my thought. That thought that you created in order to experience a sense-based activity with the mental factors, five mental factors that created thought, you also created another aspect to it. That is, a person living in you, responsible for your activities. If this person was not created in your consciousness, you would have only performed the act of what the sense basis wanted you to perform in the way of experiencing sense-based activity, either in the way of hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking. There would have been no urge for you to go beyond that. Buddha says that there is enjoyment in what is good and what is bad. For what is bad, there is aversion. What is good, you enjoy. Feeling is there. And the human being feels. And if you analyze that activity carefully, if a human being feels, who is this human being that feels? That is the being that is created by the consciousness as a delusion in your mind. You as a human being now, you always have this feeling that there is a being in you. Who created that? The consciousness creates that. It's a delusion that arises in your mind when you experience sense-based activities. In every experience you go through, this delusion that is created in the mind, in the nature of a being living in you, he pursues that experience beyond what is expected. What is expected is for you to see. But he tries to enjoy what he has seen. That which appealed to him as something good, he enjoyed. That which appealed to him as something bad, he created an aversion. And these two activities, either creating an aversion or attachment, that creates the desire. One would ask the question, for instance, if such a delusion is not created in your mind by the five mental factors, would you have pursued that experience you gained through the sense base? No. Because the being always enjoys, he feels. Feeling is something which is in him. So when he felt something good, he went after to enjoy it further. When he felt something bad, he went after to create aversion towards it. So it is this so-called being that you have created the desire. Who created this being? The five grasping groups. What are the five grasping groups? They are the very qualities that created the desire. The mental factors. One would ask the question, why should the delusion of that nature be created in us? Because you must bear in mind that the existence on the earth is to continue, not to discontinue. Continue your life as long as you can or your karmic forces permit you to. That is the worldly way. So you are born with the capacity of creating thoughts. Now with that same capacity you create a delusion. For what purpose? To continue in this world. Ask the question, if you did not create this being in you, would there be a continuity of your life in this world? Because it's these five grasping groups that created the desire. It is the five grasping groups that created the impression in you that there is a being in you when there is no being at all. And it is these five grasping groups who in the nature of a being pursue the experiences you gain through the sixth sense basis by enjoying what is good and creating hatred towards what is bad. For what purpose was this done? To continue this existence in the world, not for discontinuity. In this world, everything is created for continuity. That is the outlook of the productions of anything in this world. Therefore, you committed the sankharas through the sixth sense basis and thereby producing a being when there is no being at all, and that was for the purpose of continuity. Sankharas, what did they in return do to you? Sankharas are the activities of the being, that is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting, and these six sankharas. What were they created for? For continuity. Because these six things pursued by this imaginary being created the desire. One would ask the question, if there was no enjoyment as such, if there is no personal feeling for what is good and a personal feeling for what is bad in the way of experience these things as experiences by a certain person, would one have pursued this to that extent of creating aversion or attachment? No. And one would ask the question, is there a being in you? Is there a creation of a being in you? And that is, we all know that it is a creation and nothing but a creation in the mind. Because for this creation, the five mental factors produced by consciousness, who is a conjurer? He did the creation for you. Therefore, when you summarize the whole thing, in this fathom of body and mind lies suffering. In the body and mind lies the false notion you have created that there is a sufferer, when in fact and in truth there is no such person as sufferer. Who then is this sufferer? That is the delusion created by the consciousness in creating a sufferer. And you grasp this false notion so hard, so firmly, that every activity you committed by the body and mind became the activity of this so-called being.
this being's enjoyment led you to the creation of desire. What is the enjoyment he made? He experienced. He pursued what is good and created an attachment. Only imaginary person. He created what is bad and created an aversion. This attachment and aversion produce the desire. This desire is not a thing that is created in the spontaneous activity of the mind in creation, in creating a thought for you to see, hear, smell, taste and contact. In that thought there is no desire. In that thought there is no attachment or aversion. In that thought you only get the idea, create the idea that it is something to your liking and something not to your liking, that is all. Because there is no time for one to create a feeling and enjoy it or create an aversion to it, because after all it is part and parcel of the original thought that you created to enable you to perform the functions of six sense bases. It is subsequent thoughts that you created in pursuit of attachment, your liking and dislike, that create the desire. If desire was part of the original mind, you would have not what you do desire, because it is something which cannot be done, because you as a human being behave and your behavior pattern is to see, smell, taste, think and contact. And if that in that very act of seeing, tasting, contacting, smelling, all these things, you see, if you have the creation of this so-called being, then there is no possibility for you to escape, because the being has created in the very general thought that you create to experience the basis. But this is something which is very, very conspicuous thing. It's not in the original thought to experience the commitment of the basis. So-called desire arises. The desire arises in your subsequent action of thinking about what is good and thinking of what is bad. The two things, the feelings indicated to you in its activity as a mental factor, in the original thought you created to perform the activity of the sense base. No. You have created the being. He is enjoying every experience you gain through your sense basis. Such enjoyment falls into two categories of either attachment or aversion. And these two things independently produce desire. So what is desired? Desire is something which is not the original quality of the mind. It's something which your mind has created as a result of a circumstance. Something you maintain as cause and effect. Therefore desire is something which you can get it off without creating any harm to the spontaneous activity of the mind in the way of creating a thought and performing the activity of the six sense basis. That's a normal function. This is something abnormal. Therefore Buddha found a way to help you to get out of this. But for that situation there couldn't have been any help from Buddha to get rid of desire. If desire was an original quality of the mind, as desire is subsequently created as a result of your foolishness in doing something which you should not do in the way of pursuing experiences through the sense basis, you created desire unnecessarily. Now what do you do? Buddha says, get rid of desire. We accept the position that desire is a subsequent creation in the mind. Therefore it is something additional, not something original in the mind. Something additional can be removed. Now what is the path shown by Buddha to remove the desire? He said the essential quality is be mindful. Why did he say mindful? Because you have now reached a stage when desire is created not with a purposeful activity on your part, but absent-mindedly. The mind has now gone along this path of producing desires so long that there is no necessity for one to guide it now. And in your absent-mindedness, you make use of your eyes, you make use of your ear, you make use of your body, you make use of your tongue, you make use of your, let's say, thinking. All that is done in absent-mindedly, and in all that activity there is the promotion of desire, because the mind is used to that turning in the way of producing desire. Therefore, he used the keyword, be mindful. Don't allow that to happen. Don't allow that to happen. Therefore, when you see you are mindful, when you hear you are mindful, when you think you are mindful, when you taste you are mindful, when you contact you are mindful, when you produce something, let's say you think you are mindful. Now you have permitted the mind to go the wrong way. Your mindfulness is always checking it. As a result, now your mindfulness is not helping the mind to fall into the extremes of either attachment or aversion. Create these two things. Thereby what you did was purposeful, making use of the mind. Mindfully you prevented the creation of more and more attachment and aversion. I always emphasize that if you want to maintain a gift, you have to supply the gift with the necessary food to maintain it. Okay, in this instance, your mindfulness is checking all activities of the sense bases and not permitting such activity fall into the two extremes of creating aversion or attachment, which is the cause of desire. Therefore, you starve desire. When a certain activity is starved as a result of not committing that activity, then there is the natural outcome, that activity fading away from your mind. It takes little time. It takes effort. It also should be pursued to that extent of making the mind exist without this activity. This activity is something which the mind has created in addition to the normal functioning. Therefore, you are interfering with that performance and not allowing that to happen, thereby depriving the mind of creating a habit in the way of committing that act. It is that act of feeling an aversion or attachment that led to the feeding of desire. And how could this be done? Buddha says, it's rather difficult for you to do it on your own. Therefore, I teach you to be mindful. Be mindful in all instances. Mindfulness will help you to maintain your mental in such a way, not permitting the mind to pursue the line of action to create desire, not permitting the mind to commit any act to promote desire, being realistically aware that this is something which the five grasping roots have created in your mind. Five grasping roots are nothing but qualities of the five mental factors that create the thought. They are called grasping, they are controlled by desire. Groupings, they are put together. Function, perform their functions in one group. They are called the five grasping groups. Now this activity of checking the mind from permitting the mind to fall into the two extremes of aversion or attachment and thereby committing desire, you have now carefully not permitting the mind to act that way, and you go on doing that, then that activity on your part which you are used to in the creation of desire, that activity vanishes from the mind. And desire is becoming weaker and weaker without getting a feed to be active. It's not being fed by the activity of the mind now. Therefore desire becomes weak. And you give it to your desire. Any habit can be overcome or could be rotted off by you with an effort. Any habit. So I consider the desire is also a habit, because the pattern it creates, this so-called desire in the mind, is the same activity going on repeatedly, only difference is the sense bases are different. But the activity of attachment to it, creating aversion of attachment, is the same. And this performance repeatedly has created this strong desire in you. Now that you are not performing this activity or not feeding the mind with such activity, you have weakened the desire. And it no longer exists. In this body and mind life, the eight foundations, the eight links of the path you have to pursue to get rid of desire. And in brief, when I summarize it, I should say it's Sila, Samadhi, Panya, virtue, concentration and wisdom. Your Sila is important because after all it is that quality that settles the mind and enables you to make use of this mind, to develop it to such an extent to see the depth of anything. Not to be just satisfied with what is found on the surface, it has that amount of capacity now to see through a thing and understand in depth what it is. Samadhi does that. Then concentration is important because it is a concentrated mind that has the depth. Virtue, based on virtue, development of samadhi, which is completely segregated from the body, acting on its own. Now you watch. Observe the virtue, develop your samadhi. And what is wisdom that one has to practice? Wisdom of the realities of truth, the realities of life. What are the realities of life? Impermanent, unsatisfactory nature of things and the consciousness. And the continuity or soullessness. These are the three realities of life. In everything we do, in anything we are confronted, these things are present. There's nothing permanent in this world. Everything is subject to change, and also there's nothing substantial in something which is changing constantly, and also there is no continuity of any object in the same condition, soulless as such. These are the three things that you always bear in mind. In the anicca lies the second and the third. Therefore, if you are conscious of anicca, everything is there. So what do you do with the development of wisdom in you in the way of anicca? And you perform the acquisition six sense basis, that is the sankharas. Commit the sankhara, being fully aware that it is impermanent. Therefore, there is no possibility of one following the sankhara and then creating an aversion of attachment, thereby promoting desire. Promote sankharas, being aware that they are impermanent. And so are the activities of other sense basis. You commit those activities, but fully aware that they are impermanent. Therefore, you are not pursuing these activities to create the aversion of attachment that promotes desire. All this is where? Where do you find them? In your body, fathom of body and mind. Therefore, when you consider this doctrine by Buddha, it is not something which can be done by one to another. It is something where you are responsible to look after yourself. Buddha clearly stated that, I can't make one to enter Nibbana. I have shown a path. It's for him to follow that path and gain his salvation. If in the fathom of body you possess and the mind, there is suffering. If in the fathom of body and the mind you possess, there is cause for suffering. If in this very same fathom of body and mind bears the cessation of suffering, and if this very same body and mind bears the Sila Samadhi Eightfold Path, why are we then conscious of our situation? But this is the sickness which we have ourselves introduced into ourselves. And the sickness has taken root in us now. We are virtually victims of this sickness. But still you have a chance of changing over. What is that determination? And mindfulness. These two will lead you out of the world. Because this is something which you have done to yourself. It's not something that has happened to you as a result of circumstances, but you have done to yourself. Who created desire? You created the desire. Why do you create desire? By falling into the two extremes of aversion or attachment. Is it part and parcel of your mind? No. Part and parcel of your consciousness is to create a thought and then enable to see. But who followed the object of seeing? You followed the object of seeing, which is absolutely unnecessary, which you shouldn't have done. What is the realistic aspect of this object of vision? Impermanence. So if you are aware of this quality of the mind, the quality of this, all component things, that all component things are impermanent, and if you treat all these objects as impermanent objects, you wouldn't have not got into this difficulty. Now, make amends. After all this equipment is in you. Consciousness is within you. The performance, actually the six sense bases are within you. So at any stage of your life you can change over to be a good man. And if you want to pursue the same old way, you can do so. You are responsible. There is no necessity for you to go to another person seeking advice. There is no necessity for you to get encouragement from another. Because after all, the suffering before you is cleared before you, and you are suffering. Therefore, our objectives are clear, our activities clear, our achievements are clear, and also the result is also clear before us. So is your determination, also your knowledge. That's very important. You must know. And that knowledge and the realistic approach you have to make in regard to this getting rid of defilements is something which you can yourself do. Of course, a certain amount of guidance can be given by others, but activity has to be committed by you to get rid of them. That is why Buddha said, in this fathom of body and mind lies the cause of suffering. Suffering. In the fathom of body and mind lies the cause of suffering. In the fathom of body and mind lies the cessation of suffering. In the fathom of body and mind lies the path leading to the cessation of suffering. When you take all these four circumstances and having placed them before you and consider whether this objective can be achieved by anybody, it can be achieved by everybody. After all, you have the mind. This mind helps you to decide for yourself what is good and bad. You are not just led to something bad. You are not just led to something good. Your decision creates the good and the bad both. Therefore, and if you are suffering, if you feel suffering, and if you feel that you wish to get out of this, after all, the path is very clear. Sila Samadhi Panya. Apply that. And you are sure of the outcome. Why? Why are you sure of the outcome? Because all this reaction in regard to your attainment of Nibbana taking place within you, in your presence. When you take the right action, you see the result. That is why Buddha says the Dhamma is Sandhittika Akalika Ehipansika Opanayika Pachyattam Vetitabbo Vinyuhi. You can yourself see the result of every action you take. You can yourself live in it, benefiting the reaction of the good reaction of the Dhamma in you. You can call another and show, here, see, I am developing this way. You can't be forgetful because forgetfulness will lead you to the old way of life. Therefore, you must be mindful. And this is something every intelligent man can practice if he makes an effort. I mean, this course, if you in a quiet moment ruminate on the points I have raised for you to consider, it gives you a certain amount of encouragement. After all, I have committed a mistake. I know what the mistake is. I can put that to right. And it is within me the ability to do so. And what is the delay? My delay. Otherwise, this moment you can put that right. And as Buddha says, if you practice the four foundations of mindfulness in putting that to practice and effecting that change in you, you are capable of attaining Nibbana within 7 days. May you all attain Nibbana.